Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Shudder Weekly. My name is Dick Friend and I'm here to tell you all about camera news for this week, the week June 24th, 2019. If you're new here, thank you so much for coming. I think we should just jump straight into it. So first of all, what is Shudder Weekly? Well, basically, it is a weekly podcast that you get to enjoy every Monday, and we go over the past week in camera and cinematography tech news. Basically, we're talking cameras, we're talking editing softwares, we're talking lenses, we're talking software updates, we're talking monitors, we're talking all that good, wonderful, juicy camera tech stuff that you know and love. And it's everything from phone technology all the way up to Reds and Aries. We're covering the gamut. I don't want to leave anybody out, and I want everybody to enjoy themselves. So first of all, I want to jump in with a company that I think is making some pretty good moves here. It's a company called Tech Art Pro, and they were actually a new company to me. I didn't really know too much about them. I did a little bit of research, found out that they actually do a lot of medium format and large format adapters for your full frame mirrorless cameras. I'm talking your Canon RPs, your Sony Alpha 7s and A7R 3s and A7R 2s and all those good, wonderful cameras that we absolutely love. This company makes these really cool adapters that allow you to put on large format film camera lenses, like from your Mamiya 645s, your RZ67 Pros, your Hasselblad 500Cs, all those amazing vintage cameras that give you a beautiful medium format look. Personally, I actually love shooting medium format. I highly recommend doing so. Anyway, TechArt Pro is kind of known for making adapters for those sorts of things, and they've ventured into the full frame world by making the world first. This is the first ever in the entire world, making a world first E-mount to Z-mount that allows you to put Sony full frame mirrorless lens glass onto the Nikon Z6 and Z7 cameras. I think this is a huge deal. So why is this a huge deal? Well, it's the first time that you can ever put your Sony glass onto a Nikon camera. And I think the Nikon, in particular, has the edge over the Sony because it allows you to do a certain degree of specific things with color. Namely, you can get 10-bit color from your camera, and it's basically the same size, weight, and ergonomics as your Sony full frame cameras that we all obsess about and that everybody thinks is absolutely incredible. I personally think that Nikon is really punching above their weight. And with this new adapter, which is called the TZE01 E-mount to Z-mount smart adapter by Tech Art Pro, this thing allows you to put your existing Sony glass onto your Nikon camera. And that is crucial because one specific thing. This allows you to not have to fully switch between camera systems. You can just buy camera bodies and keep your pre-existing lenses that you have, specifically if you're already a Sony user like me. And buying a new camera body is exponentially cheaper than buying a camera body and an entirely new set of lenses. Lenses are notoriously incredibly expensive, so I certainly recommend getting a camera body without having to get all the lenses. You're going to save a boatload of money, and you'll have options for various different levels of color accuracy, which can allow you to upcharge with your clients moving forward into the future. Next up is Hasselblad, and they had a pretty big week overall. They had two major announcements. The first one is the CFV2 50C digital back and the 907X lens mount. The CFV digital back is really interesting because basically it allows you to put your digital back onto your legacy Hasselblad film camera bodies. And this is really interesting because you can use your pre-existing large format lenses and large format camera bodies. And you just buy this little back, which is actually less expensive than you might think because we're used to seeing these things in the $40,000 to $50,000 range. This is actually not that. It's actually significantly cheaper. And that's the key to this thing, is it's made to work with existing film camera bodies. Now with the 907X, which is this new kind of pancake adapter, it basically allows you to put X series lenses onto your older camera bodies. It's kind of the opposite of the digital back, because the digital back gives your analog camera digital capabilities for shooting, and the 907X gives your analog camera new lens capabilities. And the cool thing is, this gives you that awesome like hybrid old new tech combo thing where you can use new tech on your old tech, and you can kind of do that back and forth with both of these products. I think it's a really smart move from Hasselblad. Next thing that they have coming up is the X1D Mark II. And the first thing that you're going to know about the X1D Mark II is that it is way cheaper than the X1D Mark I. The X1D Mark I, I think, was around $9,000. This one is just tipping the scales at just over $5,700. But even so, it's over $2,000 cheaper than the original version. There's a couple of things that I was disappointed about. Mainly, it doesn't have any updates on its video services, which was a huge buzzkill for me. Second of all, they didn't really change the ergonomics. I wasn't that big of a fan. It kind of felt like holding a brick. Though that being said, it was praised for its ergonomics. Personally, I just didn't find it very appealing. It does have much better connectivity via USB-C and via Wi-Fi, especially through their Focus Pro app that you can use to download your footage and also view your photos as you're taking them while you're taking them on set. So that's a wonderful addition. And I think that this new X1D II is really interesting because they dropped the price so much. If you were considering this camera before, it kind of makes this a whole no-brainer because you're saving an ass ton of money. Now, for people that were considering other large format and medium format mirrorless cameras, then I think you're probably going to be on the fence because you're already going to be looking at things like the GFX series cameras from Fuji. Basically, the X1D II is an ultra-portable, medium-format camera for people that want that beautiful bitrate, that 16-bit color space that you get from your Hasselblad cameras, but you're more of an on-the-go, adventure-style, lifestyle-type photographer. And I do mean photographer because if you're doing video, this is not the camera for you. It doesn't have the video options that you want from a camera like this, and it certainly doesn't have the capabilities. I don't think medium format is ready for video yet, solely based on the fact that rolling shutter is absolutely out of control. It does seem like Hasselblad is trying to fill a niche with this camera, and they're trying to convince people that were already considering this camera as an option to go for it now. That really seems like the only thing that they're trying to do, because there's not really a considerable amount of updates for this camera, at least not what I've seen. Sony had a really interesting week this week as well. They announced a couple of new lenses. They announced a 200 to 600 millimeter G series lens that's right around the $2,000 mark. They also announced a monstrous 600 millimeter F4 G Master lens that tips the financial scales at about $14,000. So if you're willing to drop the dough, you're going to be the best looking sports photographer on that side of the NFL field. I got to say, I can't really see this working for anybody other than full-time, like really in-demand sports photographers, anybody that spends 90% of their year out shooting nature photography or rental houses. I really don't see these as viable options for prosumers or owner-operators of this gear. Maybe the 200 to 600 because it's a $2,000 lens. I can see that being is a lot more accessible. But even so, it's pretty slow because it stops all the way down to 6.3 on the f-stop scale at its furthest lens. So you're actually going to be losing a considerable amount of light. I don't really see these things selling like crazy. That being said, they seem to be filling a niche. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Fuji announced something really interesting this week called the Instax Mini LiPlay or LiPlay. I'm really not sure exactly how you pronounce it. But basically, you digitally select what photo you want and then it prints it out. So you don't have to go through 10 photos and you get one good one. You can actually choose which one you want to print. And then it prints it right in front of you, just as it would any instant camera. It's a clever move. They finally got that like indecisional millennial problem to fit into an analog, like nostalgia driven product that people tend to love so much. Personally, I actually have an Instax Mini camera and I love it. But I like the fact that I can only shoot once, and if it sucks, it sucks. That's still the photo that I get. This one is kind of like getting rid of that problem, which in a weird way, I kind of wish they would have kept that problem, because now they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot. Nobody's going to buy the other Instax cameras, because now they can like save money on their film. They're not going to have an issue with that. I don't know. I think it's kind of an interesting idea. We'll have to see how well it does. I'm sure it'll like sell like crazy because nobody wants to waste money on a frame of film when they think it might not work out to their full advantage. I don't know. I think it's kind of a cop-out for people that are being lazy. Personally, I think people should just focus a little bit more. There's a really interesting company that released an anamorphic lens for iPhones called Sandmark, and they are pretty much a direct competitor to one of my favorite companies in the world called Moment. If you don't know about Moment, Moment is a iPhone and Android phone photography and cinematography-based hardware company. They also have an app called the Moment app that allows you to get professional-grade controls through the camera on your iPhone and Android device. I think it's really interesting. I use it almost every day, but this is about Sanmark. Sanmark released their anamorphic lens for iPhone. But the thing about Sanmark is they have a really, really robust lens mounting system where it basically screws into the frame of your lens or your phone case. Now, this is really interesting, but I think that their lack of sleekness in their design is what's going to be the Achilles heel for Sanmark, because simply put, the Moment cases are way more streamlined. Basically, the hardware gets out of your way so that you can work harder on making a better image. Sanmark has a huge footprint. It's very robust. It's a frame that goes around the entire phone, and I just think it's a little too clunky. Now, I'm really excited about what this anamorphic lens can do, because it appears to have really interesting flaring and it has really interesting characteristics, and I'm sure that we're going to see some comparison videos in the future. But like I said, I just think the ergonomics aren't quite right. I think Moment really has the market cornered, and I think they're only going to go up from there. Next up is this really interesting company called Octopus Cinema, and they came up with the Octopus camera. And this is basically, long story short, it's a modular camera. It's modular through and through. It uses almost all non-proprietary hardware and software. Essentially, it comes with a 5K full frame sensor or a 4K micro four thirds sensor. But like I said, those can be swapped out. And this is a huge step forward because it's basically like building a custom PC, but you're building your own cinema camera. And to me, that's really cool. It's kind of like high stakes Legos, is what I always say about building a PC. So I figure this camera system is going to be exactly like that. I really think that this is the future of filmmaking, at least for developing hardware. And it's kind of like the original idea that Red had with their hydrogen phone / camera setup, where it had like those pins on the back where you could add adapters. And like the theory was that you could add a camera sensor and add a lens mount in front of that camera sensor and kind of build it off of the phone and have the phone be like kind of the brains of the whole operation. This seems to be a more viable and accessible version of that exact idea. And I think that Octopus Camera is going to go really far with this. I'm pretty sure it's in the prototype stages. They were just like demonstrating exactly what they could do with the whole thing. But it looks like a good idea. I think this is definitely the way to go for cameras, because it's going to allow the end user to decide what kind of camera they want to use on any given basis. And it's actually going to make pre-production and production move a lot faster. I think that's the main goal here, is it's basically speeding up production qualities. Essentially, it has swappable sensors, swappable lens mounts, swappable memory card slots, etc., etc. You can even swap out like the motherboard inside of the camera if you really wanted to. It looks like they were doing that. Hopefully this doesn't have the same fate as the Red phone, where it looks really promising and then the execution is piss poor and everybody abandons ship before it even has a chance to really prove itself in the field. I sincerely hope that that doesn't happen, but we'll have to wait and see. Edelkrone had a really interesting idea with some of their products this week, which is they announced this thing called Ortak. I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but it's O-R-T-A-K. They announced that basically what you can do is you order for $30, you order some CNC milled metal products, and then with that order comes a bunch of 3D printing plans that you can take to a 3D printer and print off your own Edelkrone device. Now, this is very, very interesting to me. So basically in this first round, they're cutting out over $100 in cost to the end user / customer about making this product. If you can go through the painstaking process of printing your own product in 3D, personally, I can go to the library here where I live and print off something for next to no money. So it would be an insane cost-effective idea for me to print off a product from Edelkrone. They're using their Flex Tilt head as the first kind of guinea pig for this project, which I think is a really good idea. If you think about it, like the product is made out of two things. It's made out of plastic composites and it's made out of CNC metal. Obviously the metal parts are the hinges and the friction arms and all that stuff that kind of keep it in place and make it operate as a tilt head the way that you would want it to. But outside of that, it's just pieces of plastic. So Edelkrone looks at that and says, well, why don't we cut out the middleman and literally let the end user print the product exactly how he or she wants. And I think that's a really good idea on the face of it. However, I do think that there are going to be some significant issues regarding quality control, because if you print a product, does the onus go to the product designer, or does it go to the printer, or does it go to the actual person that got the plans themselves. Because you got to think, like, not all of those printing composites are going to be alike, and not all printers are going to be alike. So the quality control on the actual device that gets printed is going to vary greatly. So inevitably, one of these products is going to go bad. And my worry is that when that goes bad, somebody's going to have really expensive camera mounts to that thing, and it's going to break. And then they're going to worry about the liability of that camera. So who is to blame for that camera's horrible fate when that piece of kit ends up breaking because somebody cut corners on quality when they were printing that flex tilt head? That is a huge concern of mine, and I don't think that Edelkrone has addressed it at all. So if you're one of those people that ordered the Ortoc and you're experimenting with 3D printing your own products and devices, please let me know about how things are going, if you trust those products, or if you are just completely dead in the water with this idea, you're not even going to come close to touching it. Personally, I'm going to wait and see. I'm not going to be an early adopter with this thing. I think 3D printing is really interesting, especially when it's exclusively 3D printed products. But I think as soon as you incorporate a third party that's dealing with the 3D printing, you're going to run into some issues. I also think that this is going to be a major issue for quality control, like I said before. Last up is something that I think is, I think this is absolutely hilarious. We know about this company called X-Rite. They make these really reliable color checkers. They're kind of the industry standard for color correction checkers that you would use on set, so you can get accurate color in camera and not have to do too much in post. If you've never used a color checker, I highly recommend it. These things are insanely accurate, and they really do speed up workflow if you can incorporate them into your color correction software. Anyway, they came out with a ginormous, like a huge color checker. I mean, it's literally, it's 40 inches by 60 inches, and this is a color accurate color checker. It looks exactly like the one you could put in your pocket. Seriously, it's insane. But basically, it's made for like shooting on the wide, like an extreme wide, and you want to get accurate color, or shooting like with a super long lens on your camera and you need to get like way, way down there and you don't want to like rack focus. So you can put this enormous, like person sized color checker into the scene. It's absolutely hysterical. I highly recommend that you look this up, because it looks like a It honestly looks like a mistake in Photoshop. The color checker is so enormous. It doesn't even look normal. Honestly, it's absolutely out of control. Anyway, that's going to be your Shutter Weekly for the week of June 24th, 2019. I hope that you enjoyed it. I'm going to try to do these every single week, and I will talk to you next Monday. If you like this podcast, please let your friends know. Let's try to get the word out. I really think that this is going to be a fun project, and I'm hopefully going to have some guests in the future that can talk tech with us. Anyways, I will see you next time. Have a good one. Peace.